Hello, and welcome to this episode of Science, Solutions, and Sprinkles with Sarah Jane. Today is episode 53, and I am going to talk to you about molecular gastronomy, basically the physical and chemical properties of food. And molecular gastronomy is a whole own science or art, you may want to call it. And it comes from some interesting history that I'd like to share, and some interesting things have come of it. So it really is a scientific approach to cooking, investigating and exploring, again, those physical and chemical transformations that occur during food preparation. So the study of molecular gastronomy, or the practice, combines that physics and chemistry along with culinary techniques to create innovative and visually stunning dishes. The culinary movement was popularized in the late 20th century by the scientists and chefs like Hervé Thys, Ferran Adrià, and Heston Blumenthal. Now, I probably butchered those names, but I actually was given a book when I was in school for dietetics on molecular gastronomy, and that's what first piqued my interest. So the key elements and techniques of a molecular gastronomy include looking at things like spherification. So the process of turning a liquid into spheres or caviar-like little shapes by using sodium alginate or calcium chloride. They use this technique to create dishes like spherified fruit juice caviar or olive oil spheres. So you ever had those little spheres, little balls on top of your food that aren't necessarily caviar, but they have that pop to them. So they're adding a texture through spherification. If you search on YouTube, you can find examples of this, and it's pretty impressive. Another technique that they use is foaming. So the creation of foams by using things like soy lecithin and an immersion blender. And so these foams can be added, and they add a unique texture, as well as can be used to add different flavors to different dishes. Along with that foaming and that texture idea, we can think about using gels or thickening agents. So maybe agar-agar or gelatin used to create textures in dishes, such as jellied cocktails or savory-based gel dishes. Another example of an element of molecular gastronomy would be sous vide cooking. So if you're not familiar with sous vide, you basically vacuum seal a bag and then set it in a water bath, and the sous vide tool will keep that constant temperature, really consistent temperature in that water bath, and it causes even cooking over a long period of time, and so it can result in these perfectly tender and very flavorful dishes. It's sometimes finished on a grill, sometimes not. Again, we're talking about adding texture, adding texture to this perfectly tender cooked, whatever it may be, meat, vegetables, anything. Then you add some foam, and we're really talking molecular gastronomy. Another way that a key way that molecular gastronomy is used is with liquid nitrogen. So when we think of when you go to some place that uses liquid nitrogen to make ice cream, or when you go to some place and they do the rolled up ice cream, right, that's frozen on a flash frozen surface, those are creating textures for ice creams or other frozen powders. And liquid nitrogen is used in that way. So again, it's kind of where science meets art. And the reason that molecular gastronomy matters is because it's pushing the bounds of innovation. It's taking traditional culinary techniques and creating these new exciting dishes and challenging our understanding of food, right? Thinking of ways we wouldn't normally consume things, at least to me, is new and exciting. I think it really is an art also. Sorry, it's elevating cooking to a form of art where you're playing with the taste and the texture and the presentation, and you're making something visually beautiful and also creating a very memorable dining experience when you experience somebody who's cooked for you in a way of molecular gastronomy, right? It's visually appealing. What do they say? That you eat with your eyes before you eat with your mouth, right? Seeing it can also have an influence on the flavor that you experience. So that flavor and texture. Some of these methods allow chefs to have precise control over the flavor and texture so that you get delicious, consistent results. Really, molecular gastronomy is a scientific exploration. You know, you're looking, we're exploring the gaps between science and cooking, and it encourages collaboration between chefs and food scientists to uncover those things that underlie the taste and what transforms our food. There's also a sustainability element. So sous vide cooking can help reduce food waste and also improve resource efficiency. So there's so many interesting ways that molecular gastronomy can be used. I mentioned some chefs or food scientists earlier, and I'll give you some examples of what they've done unique to molecular gastronomy that's kind of pioneered the area of molecular gastronomy. So Ferran Adrià's liquid olive is a famous dish that featured olive juice enclosed in a very thin membrane. So it resembled an olive, but when you bit into it, it burst with this intense olive flavor. So not exactly what you're expecting, right? Looks like an olive, but is olive juice. So there's just so much going on there. Another example is bacon and egg ice cream. So Heston Blumenthal basically took a classic breakfast, right? Bacon and eggs, and included a dessert. So it looks like fried eggs and bacon, but it's made entirely of sweet and savory ice cream elements. And I think of all the things I see on YouTube with this or on TikTok, maybe, where somebody's making a cake that looks like a real food. So I think there's a baker and a chef, husband and wife, and the husband's always cooking amazing meals. And so she tries to cook like him, but always makes cakes that look like real food, or bags of chips, or all kinds of different things. So the same idea here with this bacon and egg ice cream, but adding all of those flavor elements in a presentation that you would not expect. Jose Andres did what's called dragon's breath popcorn. So it's popcorn infused with liquid nitrogen. So you have these like smoking bites that release a puff of vapor when you eat them. Super interesting. My kids would probably love to do something like that because, right, dragon's breath. But you're creating an experience in eating that popcorn. Grant Achatz Alinea, so the entire menu at this Michelin-starred restaurant here in Chicago, where I am this week, it's a wide range of molecular gastronomy techniques and just stunning presentations. So look up, it's Alinea, and it is just absolutely amazing. So overall, molecular gastronomy has had a real impact, I think, on the culinary world. It pushes the bounds of what's possible in the kitchen. It really adds the science and art together, so that you have a real immersive experience. You haven't experienced molecular gastronomy. You can even experience it when you buy, something like a candy that has different textures, right? That is molecular gastronomy on some level. So that's all I wanted to explore today, was how interesting molecular gastronomy is. If you've tried something that you want to share with me or with the audience, I would love to hear it. Have you had molecular gastronomy experiences in your life? And what are some other good examples? So this has been episode 53 of Science, Solutions, and Sprinkles with Sarah Jane. And I hope you learned a little bit more about molecular gastronomy.